This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Gaylor, and welcome, fellow and sister blasphemers. Remember, blasphemy is a victimless crime.
And I'm Dan Barker. I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the September 29th, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. Happy birthday to Becky, my daughter Becky. This show is produced at and broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin. If you're a podcast listener, you might like to know that at Central Time, 11 o'clock in the morning, on Saturdays, you can actually listen to this program as it is streaming. We also have broadcasts of the show in Columbia, Missouri, in Ithaca, New York, and environs, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in Monterey, California. And if you are listening to this show in New York City, we hope you will let us know, because we're not quite sure if that program is still being broadcast there. So let us know if you're hearing us in New York City.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we are a nationwide state church watchdog and also a membership association for like-minded individuals who are personally free from religion, and we have over 18,500.
No, more than 19,000 now.
In North America, and we hope you'll join us.
Today, we're going to talk about FFRF's newest lawsuits, some state church victories, the push to adopt blasphemy laws around the world. And then we'll play something nostalgic for Annie, Laurie, and me. We'll play part of that Oprah Winfrey AM Chicago show where Annie, Laurie, and I met in person for the first time.
And that was, what year was that?
That was the fall of 1984. It was recorded in September of 1984.
So that'll be on the second half of the show. So let's start with FFRF's newest litigation. It's actually sort of twin litigation. On September 14th, we filed a federal lawsuit against New Kensington Arnold School District in Pennsylvania to remove a very prominent Ten Commandments monument from the grounds of Valley High School in New Kensington. And we have over 700 members in Pennsylvania. So FFRF is a plaintiff, along with two local parents with students in the school district. And both student plaintiffs have indicated they have felt enormous stress and anxiety over concern that they and their children would continue to encounter this religious monument at their school.
It's one of those tombstone-like monuments of the Ten Commandments, approximately 6 feet high. It's directly in front of the main school entrance. It's near the two footbridges that students and visitors use to enter the building, so you can't miss it. This Bible monument was presented by the New Kensington branch of the Eagles. They're a fraternal order that has literally littered the landscape with similar monuments around the country. FFRF staff attorney Patrick Elliott first sent a letter last March to the district superintendent requesting that he remove that monument because it violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. The district failed to move the monument or even write an official response. The board president, Pallone, however, wrote in March on the Facebook webpage called, and this is all in caps with like what, 26 exclamation points, "Keep the Ten Commandments at Valley High School," writing that the district would not remove this monument without a fight. Clergy in the area held a rally during the school day in front of Valley High School to support the decision to retain the religious monument. We point out that the display lacks any secular purpose, citing the Supreme Court decision Stone versus Graham from 1980. Which ruled that the Ten Commandments cannot be posted in public school classrooms because, as they say, the preeminent purpose for doing so is plainly religious in nature.
The district's posting of those Ten Commandments monument at the high school, of course, endorses and advances religion, but it also impermissibly coerces students to suppress their personal religious or non-religious views and adopt the favored religious views of the district. The Eagles campaign, I might add, started when a devout judge and Eagle member, E.J. Rugemeyer, wanted to promote religion and Minnesota granite. And he teamed up with film director Cecil B. DeMille, who was interested in promoting his very bad 1956 epic, The Ten Commandments.
It's so bad that it's good.
And FFRF in the early 1980s, our attorney at the time actually deposed Judge Rugemeyer, who was, I think, in his 90s, and he gave us some of this information. And in 2002, FFRF successfully removed one of the very first such monuments placed on government property, and that happened to be in the city of Milwaukee.
Isn't that where Yul Brynner showed up to dedicate it?
And so Dan, you went there and you documented the removal. You took a bunch of pictures of it, so that was very satisfying. So we're seeking a permanent injunction directing the district to remove the Ten Commandments monument from district property, reasonable costs and attorney's fees and so on. And we're being represented by Marcus B. Snyder of Pittsburgh. And we want to thank our staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, who's done a great deal of work on this, too.
Now, also in Pennsylvania, on Thursday, September the 27th, just this last week, FFRF, with a parent and a student, filed a second federal lawsuit, the Western District of Pennsylvania in Pittsburgh, against the Connellsville Area School District for also maintaining a Ten Commandments monument at the Connellsville Junior High School.
And there we thought we wouldn't have to sue. The attorney, Marcus Snyder, had sent a cease and desist letter for us at the end of August, and the school had responded with some alacrity, saying they were going to do something about it. And then they thought differently, and they started covering it up with plastic and then plywood, and the vandals keep on covering it.
Uncovering it.
And then there were two rallies at least in favor of keeping the monument, and there's been intense public pressure. 100 people showed up at the school board on September 12th when it voted to delay any further action. So, and they've now put a large wooden box, kind of casket-like box, over the Ten Commandments. And so we filed suit on Thursday, another federal lawsuit on behalf of a parent and student, and have said that this indefinite covering of this highly conspicuous Ten Commandments monument hasn't remedied the impermissible coercion that our plaintiffs previously endured, and it's had the nor has it had the effect of squelching the message of religious endorsement that the district continues to send.
For a little flavor of what's been going on there in Connellsville, here's a clip from WTAE4 out of Pittsburgh.
This rally started at 5 o'clock. There are still people around, and this is what they're fighting to keep. Right behind me, you can see a monument of the Ten Commandments. It is unveiled now, but it has been covered ever since a group in Washington, D.C. demanded its removal. And while there was a rally here to save it, the law is clear. It has to go.
I think it's tragic what is happening in our country.
They came out in dozens to support their school district, to support their God.
It's God's principles. And I believe that God should be in school with our children. And if you don't believe that way, I respect yours, your right, your opinion. Please respect mine.
Days after a group in Washington, D.C. demanded the Ten Commandments on Connellsville Junior High East property be removed as required by the separation of church and state, supporters rallied in front of the monument, begging school leaders to fight it. A Uniontown pastor led the rally.
If the word of God is good enough for our soldiers, and concubine and fly the President of the United States, it should be good enough for our students as they walk by. Amen?
Amen.
Kind of scary, huh? That the reporters were all a little bit mixed up about who wrote the cease and desist letter that was the Freedom From Religion Foundation at the end of August, and that's when Connellsville covered it. But now they're dithering about removing it, so we have filed suit last week.
Now, FFRF has scored several victories in the last week, most notably persuading the city council in Pueblo, Colorado, to stop praying. They were sectarian prayers, and they are now being replaced with a moment of silence. FFRF attorney Andrew Seidel, who used to live in Pueblo, handled that complaint. And here's a little clip from KKTV out of Colorado Springs.
But in Pueblo, city council members there have decided that a moment of silence will now replace the opening prayer.
I'm really sad that they made that decision. I'm disappointed because for those of us who believe in God and the power of prayer, I think that prayer is very important.
Regarding the moment of silence, I actually find it to be a little bit more fair and ecumenical because it gives people who want to pray the option to do so, but those who don't want to, they no longer have to.
I believe it should stay. And if it's something that you really don't want to listen to, turn your ears off for a couple minutes and respect those that do want to hear it.
Someone in Pueblo complained about the prayer. The Freedom of Religion Foundation then issued a letter to Pueblo City Council members asking them to remove the prayer. The foundation says that they believe that prayer should be kept separate, that it's unconstitutional.
And I should point out that in Colorado, if you look up the American Religious Identification Survey, which is definitive, it's this huge 60,000 people around the country, state by state, are asked their views on religion. Over 20% of Colorado citizens identify as non-religious. So that's a lot of people to exclude by praying at them or to offend.
And they want us to respect them and allow them not to respect us. So how does that work? In another victory for FFRF, Sissonville High School in West Virginia has dropped illegal football prayers. This follows a letter of complaint from FFRF attorney Patrick Elliott. Here's a quick clip from WCHS 8 out of Charleston.
This all started when a parent at a football game complained about the school-led pregame prayer. The complaint went to the Freedom from Religion Foundation, which put together an argument for why it is unconstitutional and sent that complaint to the school board. The Kanawha County School Board said that Sissonville High School could no longer do this.
And we'll have an update probably next week about our complaint about football prayers at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Now, in other developments, the school district in Koontz, Texas.
Can you spell that, Koontz? K-O-U-N-T-Z?
Was sued by a religious right group after it stopped cheerleaders from making football players run through Christian Bible verses and prayer verses. And this was after FFRF had complained on behalf of a member of the community. So we congratulate the school district for doing the right thing. They're now being sued in state court, and FFRF is working on an amicus brief in support of the school's position. We reported on some of these strange details last week, but since then we are pleased to see that KFDM6 News out of Beaumont, Texas, actually found some students on our side willing to speak up.
It's been so one-sided on this discussion, and I feel people need to know that there are people who oppose this and people who realize everyone should be equal under the law and everyone should be equally represented when you have something in the public forum like this.
My initial thought was that I do support it, but when you dig deeper into it and you realize that they are representing the school and that it's not really constitutionally right for them to represent the school in that manner.
I just think that they're misrepresenting certain minorities, Judaism, atheism, the lack of a religion, agnosticism, or Islam. Their God or their lack of God wasn't on this banner. And I think that if it were, then that would be equally offensive to the many Christians that are in this community.
The case will go back to court October 4th in Koontz. Judge Stephen Thomas scheduled another hearing for a temporary injunction.
This shows that our country is becoming more and more diverse. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. We're going to analyze some of the United Nations speeches on blasphemy. And as a bonus treat, we're going to play some very prescient advice from that great agnostic philosopher, Bertrand Russell, which was made in, I think it was 1959. It's still very timely today. And by the way, this week, October 2nd, is the birthday of Sting, who is a non-believer. When he was asked what his religion was, he said, "My religion is music." So we'll hear a little of his music as we go out of another segment today.
As Mark Twain said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And the United Nations convened last week, and blasphemy was sure on their minds. We saw the new presidents of Egypt and Yemen absolutely promoting global adoption of blasphemy laws. And let's listen to first to the voice of reason. This is a small snippet from Obama's speech at the United Nations.
And on this, we must agree. There is no speech that justifies mindless violence. There are no words that excuse the killing of innocents. There's no video that justifies an attack on an embassy. There's no slander that provides an excuse for people to burn a restaurant in Lebanon or destroy a school in Tunis or cause death and destruction in Pakistan.
So, disagreeing with him was Egyptian President Morsi. This is what he said.
And the insults hurled on the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, is rejected. We cannot accept it. And we will be the opponents of those who do this. We will not allow anyone to do this by word or deed.
And also, President Ahmed Rabu Mansour Hadi of Yemen opened his speech Wednesday by demanding more curbs on freedom of speech. He said these behaviors find people who defend them under the justification of the freedom of expression. These people overlook the fact that there should be limits for the freedom of expression, especially if such freedom blasphemes the beliefs of nations and defames their figures. We saw President Asif A. Zardari of Pakistan saying that he wanted to condemn in the strongest way the acts of incitement of hate. I thought he was going to say the acts of violence in the name of Muhammad, but he said the acts of incitement of hate against the faith of billions of Muslims of the world and our beloved Prophet Muhammad. He said the international community must not become silent observers and should criminalize such acts that destroy the peace of the world and endanger world security by misusing freedom of expression. He urged the UN to take that up immediately. And so did Nabil Flarabi, who's the Secretary General of the 21-member Arab League. He said if the international community has criminalized bodily harm, it must just as well criminalize psychological and spiritual harm. In other words, violence against people isn't as bad as saying something they disagree with
spiritual
about
harm.
The Muslim religion. And so we would like to present this time capsule by Bertrand Russell. This is going around on YouTube lately. This was an interview, and he could have been speaking about last week.
Suppose, Lord Russell, this film were to be looked at by our descendants like a Dead Sea Scroll in 1,000 years' time. What would you think it's worth telling that generation about the life you've lived and the lessons you've learned from it?
I should like to say two things, one intellectual and one moral. The intellectual thing I should want to say to them is this. When you are studying any matter or considering any philosophy, ask yourself only, what are the facts and what is the truth that the facts bear out? Never let yourself be diverted either by what you would wish to believe or by what you think could have beneficent social effects if it were believed. But look only and solely at what are the facts. That is the intellectual thing that I should wish to say. The moral thing I should wish to say to them is very simple. I should say, love is wise, hatred is foolish. In this world, which is getting more and more closely interconnected, we have to learn to tolerate each other. We have to learn to put up with the fact that some people say things that we don't like. We can only live together in that way. And if we are to live together and not die together, we must learn a kind of charity and a kind of tolerance, which is absolutely vital to the continuation of human life on this planet.
That was Bertrand Russell. Wasn't that fun to hear those words?
He was in his late 80s. I think it was 1959. And did you notice in there, by the way, he also seemed to be predicting the internet. He said, we're becoming more and more interconnected.
Well, he was very prescient, and wouldn't he be appalled at the last several weeks and what has happened in the name of religion?
Because the freedom of speech is an important American or democratic principle that allows us all to say what we like. And how does that cause harm to someone to hear a criticism of their views?
The insult of Muhammad is worse than killing somebody, is what has been said now for the last two weeks.
Of course, most of those leaders went out of the way to say that they denounced violence, but they're kind of like saying, but it's not our fault if somebody incites our people commit these violent acts. Of course, incitement is going to make this happen. So you're to blame, America, or free speech is
well,
to blame.
And we do see blasphemy persecutions and prosecutions increasing. We had Mike Nugent on our show recently talking about the seriousness of this.
So here's a little bit of Sting's music, Fields of Gold. I am Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned. After the break, we are going to hear another little historical piece from way back in 1984. Annie Laurie and I, the day we met on Oprah Winfrey's AM Chicago show. So stay tuned.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope someday, or today, you will join us. We are a 501c3 educational charity working to keep religion out of government and educate the public about non-theism.
Annie Laurie and I have been co-hosting the show for, what, more than 6 years now? We've been co-presidents of the foundation since 2004, but we go way back. Annie Laurie started working in the mid-80s full-time for the foundation.
I'm a co-founder.
As a co-founder,
1976,
way back in the
70s. Dan.
I know. But then I came on in 1987. But Annie Laurie and I actually met in 1984. And there's a videotape of the day we met, which you can find. We finally put it online. Go to fffref.org. What is it, the YouTube channel?
No, go to the YouTube channel and look up Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Oh, go to the YouTube channel. And then
go to our channel on the YouTube.
On YouTube. And you can find this video. It's it was recorded in September and aired later in the fall of 1984 on Oprah Winfrey's show, which was called AM Chicago. That was just like a couple months before she went national famous. So, and it's... The show is significant for me because just that same year, I had sent out my letter of deconversion announcing that I was no longer a minister. And just a few months later, here I was. This was the very first time I had ever publicly spoken about my atheism before any audience at all. It was the first time I had ever spoken before a hostile audience. And it's actually very good TV. We can't play the whole thing for you. It's 45 minutes, but we'll play some snippets of it.
And you'll hear my mother and Gaylor as well.
Oprah Winfrey, if you have a drinking problem, most people call Alcoholics Anonymous. But where do you go if you're trying to kick a religion habit? Well, my two guests this morning are a mother and daughter team who just opened a telephone hotline for anyone who's trying to kick religion out of their lives. I want you to welcome my two guests. Maybe some of you don't want to welcome them. But welcome them anyway, my two guests from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Ann Gaylor and Annie Laurie Gaylor, here in Chicago. You know, I'm sure that, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who would disagree with the idea of kicking religion out of your life. Why do you need a hotline for it?
Because a lot of people are trying to kick religion, and because religion is kind of an addiction, it's kind of a sickness with some people, and they need some place to turn. If you go to the standard public library, there's very little you can read about. We get a lot of calls from former members who want information, and so we open this to the public in general.
Do you really see it as a sickness, or do you just not see, or see it as some people taking this as an option in their lives? Doesn't necessarily mean it's a disease.
We do see it as a dependency. Let me give you an example of somebody who needed our service. She grew up in Pittsburgh in a Catholic home. She went to parochial grade school, parochial high school. Everybody she knew was Catholic, all her relatives. And then she went away to college, and she had this faith versus reason kind of thing you get into, and reason won. And she had no place to turn. When she went home, her father wouldn't talk to her. When she married, her mother said, you can expect your baby to be born deformed and retarded because you broke away from the one true church. So she couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep, she felt terrible. She had no place to turn to.
So you see yourself as providing a service?
A support service for people who have rejected religion. That's right.
So are you atheist, are you?
Yes.
You are atheist?
I'm an atheist. The organization Freedom From Religion Foundation is kind of an umbrella organization. We call the members mostly free thinkers. They may call themselves atheists or agnostics
You know, I believe atheists have a right to be atheists. Everybody has a right to be whatever they want to do as long as they don't interfere with other people's rights or beliefs. But if you're atheist, you don't believe in God or a power greater than yourself. So what do you believe? Like, how did you get here? And
well, my life is free from religion. Mm-hmm. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing.
It is positive, and in what way? Tell me.
Because I don't believe in any supernatural deity, particularly a male supernatural deity, that is authoritarian and telling us what to do. And if you don't do what he says, you go to hell.
So you believe that you have total control over your life and you're responsible for what happens to you and there is nothing else?
Well, of course people don't have total control over their life. I believe there's no supernatural control mm-hmm. over my life.
What is the next step? Then what do you do? What do you tell me?
Well, I think that most people who reject religion want something to read. One of our members thinks she's the only atheist in Wyoming. And I don't think she is, but you see, they get that feeling. If they live in a Baptist community, for example, there's just no place to plug in.
Well, I tell you, I've been to Wyoming. It's hard to deny God or supernatural power or being in Wyoming. I mean, you look at the sky and the mountains, it's kind of hard to kind of say.
Well, I'm not sure that people don't get nature mixed up with supernatural things. Nature and everything around you is very tangible and very concrete. I don't think that is any proof at all for the existence of supernatural
beings. How do you propose it got here?
Oh!
I'll give you a chance to speak later. The front row, amen corner, you will have your chance. But how do
I got here the same way everyone else got here. I think it has a lot more to do with women going through labor than it has anything to do with a male god.
Okay. We'll be back to take your phone calls and to talk to our audience members in just a moment on AM Chicago. Back to talk to you. Joining me now is a former ordained minister of 17 years who gave up his religion, Dan Barker. I tell you. So, tell me your story, Dan.
I was one of
those guys. The ex-reverend. Right. The ex-reverend.
The ex-reverend.
Yes.
I was one of those guys that would walk up to you on the street and tell you about Jesus Christ and would convince you that you were a sinner deserving of damnation, tell you about Jesus' love, read the Bible to you, and pray with people like yourself, with many people. I was an evangelist, and I loved the gospel, the calling of the ministry, and I've changed my mind.
What made you change your mind, Dan?
In 30 years of going to church and being a preacher, I never got to sleep in on Sunday mornings.
Is that the
one chance? No.
Well, Dan, for goodness sake, sleep in on Saturday. But what is the real reason? What, you woke up one morning and you said what?
No, for me it was a 5-year struggle. I was always in love with reason and intelligence and truth. I thought Christianity had the truth. Mm-hmm. I really believed it. I dedicated
When did
my
you
life
become a Christian?
It.
When you were a little boy?
I was raised in the church,
yes.
But at the age of 15, I dedicated my life to Jesus Christ. I accepted a calling of God in my life to be a minister, to be an evangelist. And at that age, I went out and started sharing. I went to Mexico, the mountains and the jungles of Mexico, to share my faith for years. Traveled the U.S., standing in parks and street corners and telling people about Jesus' love. A 15-year-old evangelist, 16, 17, through all
this. I know,
I did
in the third grade. I understand.
And I'm still the same person, the same minister who wants to know what is real and what is true. And I've decided that the evidences for Christianity are not solid evidences. The Bible is an unreliable document, and it is a very uninspiring document, and my heart cannot accept what my mind rejects.
And so you have decided what? There is no God?
Well, I am an atheist now, yes. I do not personally hold a belief in God, which is the definition.
You went from
of
17 years of being a minister to not believing in God.
That's right.
What does that say about you?
That means I was wrong. I made a mistake. I had a psychological delusion that my culture and my family were presenting to me as truth, which I wholeheartedly accepted.
And what made you to come to, what has now made you come to the conclusion that there is no God?
To be an atheist doesn't mean a person concludes there's no God. It means a person has no faith in God. There's no evidence, there's no substantiation for me to say I have a faith in God.
Well, all of those 17 years that you were telling people on the streets and you were such a devout evangelist, you had reason to believe there was a God. What was the reason that you used then?
The reason was my own personal psychological feeling that I was in touch with a higher mind. I prayed every day. I saw supposed answers to prayer. I once laid hands on a person and said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. That person regained his lost voice.
So how do you explain that person regaining his lost voice?
Well, I can't explain it. I'm no physician. I'm no scientist. There are many unexplainable things that I don't believe we should just give to God by default out of ignorance.
Okay.
There are other plausible explanations for the supposed evidences for Christianity.
So do you think that you had the power to lay on of hands?
I thought I did at the time.
Okay.
I now know that I did not, but okay. I did think I did.
Very interesting. Do you not feel that for some people there is really a need for religion in their lives? For some people, if there were not the Ten Commandments, they would know how to behave.
Well, but and look at the Ten Commandments. There are three different versions of them, but in all of them, the first four commandments have nothing to do with morality or how you behave. They all have to do with what will happen if you don't worship the particular deity of the Old and New Testaments. They're morally inadequate. They're phrased in a negative way.
Okay. Do you not think that there is a need for religion for some people in their lives? And how have you the right to tell them no, you don't?
The Christians Anonymous Service and the Freedom from Religion Foundation don't go around to the doors of churches leafleting people and saying, how can you be so dumb as to go to church? We're only there for people who have broken away or who are in the process of breaking away. If someone's happy in their religion, then we pose no threat to anybody.
But
we're
you are on television saying
recruiting.
This is not the way, folks, let me tell you.
Well,
you are on television saying that. Are you not? Are you not?
Well,
this is not to put you on the spot, but are you not?
We were invited. And this is
that is true, that is true.
This is a plurality, and we do have separation of state and church in this country. It's very important that minority views, particularly those that aren't religious, should be heard in this country as well. They shouldn't be stifled.
And that's why we let you say them.
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
We'll be back in just a moment to take your phone calls. Getting interesting.
Annie Laurie was 28 years old. I was 35. Anne was, what, 56, 57 at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were seasoned pros at the time. And stay tuned after the break. We're going to hear from the, what did she call it? The Amen Corner? That audience that Oprah had packed with Bible thumpers, people holding their Bibles, and they were all on the edge of their seats wanting to get at us. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're going to keep listening to that AM Chicago show with Oprah Winfrey. That was 28 years ago, half your life ago, Annie Laurie. And the second segment is audience questions. It was a bit of a jerky show because it changed topic a lot, but it's a lot of fun to listen to. If you want to see the whole thing, the whole 45 minutes, go to YouTube and look for FFRF videos. Here's the rest of the show.
Amen. I give honor to God. And Jesus said, believe me for the works' sake. And the works is the trees, the birds, the bees, the flowers. And he said, love your enemy. That's what the brother was talking about. And it's in the Bible. I haven't read it from cover to cover, but God's word is right.
If you carry it around with you, you should know what you're
doing. Oh, I plan to if Jesus don't return soon. And I would like to ask you all a question. What if it's true after all?
All right.
Well, the Bible says that when the second coming arrives, the whole world ends. I should hope you wouldn't think it's true.
If you don't believe in the supernatural God and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then what do you base your decisions on, right or wrong in your life? Or saying, I don't believe, just give you an excuse to do what you want
not
to do.
Not at all.
With nothing to guide you.
Christianity is not synonymous with morality. One of the most religious presidents we ever had was Richard Nixon, retired in disgrace.
There can be an objective scientific basis for morality outside of the supernatural, outside of religion, based on the value of human life, which has nothing to do with receiving an edict written in stone from a god. I am free with a rational mind to determine a hierarchy of values which suits me fine, and which helps me to protect myself from what I perceive to be evil.
Do you feel you're better off now that you've rejected religion in your life?
Well, I'm in control of my own mind now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not receiving orders from some mind that I don't even know what...
Who was in control of it before?
I was basically, I was living a delusion.
I think that it's sad that you believe that you're born and then you die and that's it, nothing else.
But he has a right to believe that.
Why is that
sad?
Give up.
But why is that sad?
Why is that sad?
Why is
one person talk at a time. One person talk at a time.
Why it's sad.
Okay, why is it sad?
Because you gotta leave here. You sure can't stay here. Okay. And where are you gonna spend eternity?
You don't.
I have a question. Well, you don't spend eternity.
Well, my mother has a saying, nothing fails like prayer.
Man,
nothing.
There are a lot of people who take issue with that. Nothing fails like prayer, you say. We'll be back to talk about that in just a moment on AM Chicago. What do you think of people who say they're saved?
I believe in death after life, not life after death.
People who are in the throes of illness, who because of their faith in God, feel that they are getting better and feel a sense of hopefulness because of it. And you can't deny that.
So but religion is an anesthetic then, huh?
Go ahead, Dan. Say what you want to say. The ex-reverend.
Go ahead. Religion in that case becomes a way of numbing yourself to escape from your problem with reality.
So what's wrong with that? Is there something wrong with that if it makes
true.
You feel better?
Well, there's nothing to be gained by believing any mistruth, no matter how benign it might be. It's better to face reality and realize that if a person wants meaning...
But it is you who is saying it is a mistruth. If that person believes
that's true.
It is true. If that person is believing that it is true, then it is
okay.
For them. Do you not agree?
We have no guarantee who wrote the Bible. Just point after point of supposed Christian evidences which substantiate the faith have been discredited.
We are a nation of Bible illiterates. Many clergy persons have not really read the Bible.
I wanted to ask the daughter here, why is it so that you're against preachers, ministers, all men?
I'm for equality of the sexes, and I'm pointing out that probably the most patriarchal sexist institution in the world is organized religion.
Okay, but the Bible says...
Let's talk about what the Bible says. We've been talking about how people don't know what's in it.
We'll talk about what the Bible says when we come back. Hello, caller. We're on the air, and so are you. Hello?
My question is, if these people believe that being an atheist is not synonymous with being, say, a bad person, then why not believe that they are going to reap some benefits from being a good person in their lives, if they're good people?
But you could reap benefits when you live. I think that would be a lot more rewarding.
And this idea that life has no meaning if it's not everlasting just doesn't seem like a very sound idea. I think life does have meaning, though it's not everlasting.
Okay.
I still haven't heard either one of you answer how you govern your life, what's right and what's wrong.
Their point is that Christianity has nothing to do with morality.
How do they judge right and wrong without a God?
I'm sure people may have different answers, but my answer is I apply the test of reason and kindness. I use the yardstick of reason and kindness. If I'm contemplating an action, is it reasonable, is it kind? And that's all you need.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, please, Dan.
I met a couple of weeks ago with some people from Christian Research Institute, and one fellow pointed his finger at me and said, if I shared your present atheistic philosophy, you would be dead now. I said, I'd be dead? Why? He says, because I would kill you. Without the moral restraint of the Bible, he said, I would be a wild animal, raping, running, killing, stealing, murdering. Thank God for the Bible who restrains me morally. And I thought, how sad.
I thank God for it too, because there are a lot of people who would be that way had they not the Bible to tell them not to do it.
My answer to him was, you would find quickly that it would not be in your own self-interest to try to kill me. There are people like me who love life enough to protect ourselves from people like you. We have laws, we have reason, we have intelligence. You wouldn't last too long with that kind of a wild animal morality.
But do you not believe, though, that that man's point is a very valid, I'm trying to get you to say yes, is a valid point, because there are a lot of people who, without religion, would be wild and crazy and go around shooting and robbing, stealing, killing everybody.
I don't believe that at all. In fact, if you look at the history of the Jack the Rippers and the slashers and the, what are called now, serial murderers,
mm-hmm.
Henry Lee Lucas, who's just apprehended, is a born-again Christian today. He's against abortion, he says, because that's taking a life. Well, he's admitted to killing more than 350 women, and his rationale for killing them is that they were all whores. If you go back to the Bible, which he believes in, women are called whores throughout the Bible. They're termed as dangerous people or apt to turn people away from religion. There are even passages in the Bible of the Lord ordering women to be ripped into pieces because they're whores. We have Jack the Ripper, who's the guy in Los Angeles who was killing women, religiously motivated murderers.
I'd like to make a comment to the ex-minister. So what you're saying is that you really didn't know what you were doing. You were just going along with what you thought was right. So that means that you really weren't a minister anyway if you didn't know what you were doing, right?
Well, I did believe at the time that I knew what I was doing. I believed that God's touch was on my life, that I had received a holy calling. I believed that the Bible spoke to me, that the Holy Spirit ministered to me and gave me direction. I gave it a 110% chance, and it fails the test.
But you were.
It does not fail.
Okay, stand up, stand up.
This woman has something to say, yes.
Okay, I know we're welcome to our own opinions, and I'm not putting you down, but I feel very sorry for you, because there is a bigger being. And I'd like to make one comment to what you said about prayer fails.
Nothing fails like prayer. Nothing fails like prayer.
Why do you have to say that?
Because people pray every day for things that never happen. People pray every day that they may live.
Okay, this man has something to say, yes?
All the unanswered prayers will fill the world.
Want to say what?
I mean, they are really upsetting me. I'm getting warm, but seriously, this young lady here, the devil has got hold of her and her mom.
You think I'm a witch?
God, he has the right to do whatever he wants to do. He lives in my life, and he loves me. You're... I bear witness to that.
Okay. Amen.
I meant to ask you this a little earlier. Do you believe that there is an evil force on earth?
Oh, no.
No, you do not?
The Bible
because
teaches,
quite, the Bible teaches
in, people to believe in devils and witches. And look at what happened to millions of women in Europe who were burned and individually tortured and killed because somebody like you did not believe that they had the right religion.
Back in just a moment. Thank you all very much. But you wanted to say one thing here, one final comment.
What if you're wrong? I know I have a chance at eternal life.
What if you're wrong? Okay.
What difference does it make? We don't believe in everlasting life. What difference would it possibly make to us?
It has been interesting having all of you. We had some specially invited guests here today. Thank you all. You are all wonderful. Thank you for being here.
That was 1984, The Oprah Winfrey Show. That was Dan, myself, my mother, and we had Rita Bell. Rita Bell was also there. We couldn't excerpt that. Ask for more information about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org, or you can phone 1-800-335-4021. Support us. Join us. It's a tax-deductible membership that includes 10 issues a year of our lively newspaper, Free Thought Today. Or you can request a sample copy of the current issue at FFRF.org. But why not join us? And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.